This is Haunted America with your host, Josh Mantello and Al Shepard on Blog Talk Radio. To discuss today's topics, call 646-716-5896. And now, Haunted America with Josh Mantello and Al Shepard.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Al Shepard, and right at the moment, it's just me. I don't know where Josh is. He's not in the switchboard. Haven't heard from him. Saw a bulletin earlier, said he was going to some concerts this afternoon, but he never told me he wasn't going to be here, so he might pop in, he might not, who knows. I'll say hello to Michael Jackson's ghost out there, at least I'm not completely alone. And speaking of Michael Jackson's ghost, I guess the video that was on CNN has pretty much been laid to rest, that it was a member of a camera crew or something that they caught on film, so it was not actually a ghost. But that was kind of a cool thought, though. If anybody would have come back and haunted people, it probably would have been him. Anyway, second hour, we're going to have Dave Schrader, host of Darkness Radio, which comes on tonight, 9 to midnight Central Time. So by the time he gets off of here, he'll have just about an hour to get ready for his own show. So I appreciate him taking the time out of his busy schedule to join us here on Haunted America Radio. All right, this is usually the time I kick it over to Josh and see what's going on and what he's been doing all week and what his plans are for the first hour of the show. But seeing as he's not here, I have no clue what we were supposed to do the first hour of the show. And so I guess I get to play it by ear here. And speaking of playing it by ear, I did a little watching of some old Ghost Hunter episodes, and I stumbled across the funniest thing that I've ever seen, and I've been saving this for weeks until I could find the time to throw it in here, and I guess this is a good time. Maybe you'll remember this episode of Ghost Hunters.
So I'm in here in Tasman, and I have to use the bathroom. It's kind of like snuck up on me. I was trying to look for any other toilet, you know, around the neighborhood, and I really couldn't find one.
Real bad.
Dude, just go. If you got a gun.
I just want to.
Dave, here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right.
Now in this bathroom, she said that the overhead light turns on and off on its own.
Yep.
Which is weird, because if you look here, it was a sensor at one time.
Yeah.
You see that?
Oh, smell sensor, light sensor.
Who's that? Anybody?
I don't know. Somebody left to go outside. Oh my god. That was just wrong. I'm glad I picked Mexican, because I think he had what Chinese.
Tango took a crap in there. The vapor starts here. Right here. You can smell it from here, permeating right out. Absolutely disgusting. And I like number twos. I do. Like I do. They're fun for everybody. But when you have to smell someone else's.
Mr. Hankey.
Steve for Tango?
This is Tango. Go ahead. Go, Steve.
Did you blast out that bathroom on purpose?
No, I had to use the bathroom. It was no other way out.
Tango, Chris and I went in there to try to debone
the light that goes on and off, and I almost fell down. The smell was so bad, I literally almost fell to my knees.
My nostrils are honestly numb right now. I haven't smelled anything else in 20 minutes.
My smell is bad still.
And I tried to look for other places that use, for a toilet. That's the only place I could find. I apologize.
Next time, dig a hole, number two in the hole, cover it up, and that's okay.
Dig a hole? All right. Steve walkies me, and, he tells me, he didn't appreciate what I left in there prior. I mean, I flushed. I'm not saying I left it in there, but I had to use the bathroom. I guess he didn't appreciate the smell, but it was worth it, man. I had to do it.
I don't know. There seems to be an attraction between Steve and Tango and bathroom smells or something. If you go through the different episodes of Ghost Hunters, because that wasn't the only time.
What the hell is that noise? It just turned on.
It's a machine, but...
So let's go towards it and just see what we're dealing with. Oh, wait a second. There it is.
It's blowing out.
It's just air. It's not even heat or anything.
Oh,
it smells.
I know. Oh, I know what it is.
What?
Someone's in the bathroom. They put the thing on. The vent. And that's the
well,
poo smell. What?
We just inhaled someone's poo smell right out of the
tube. You believe this load of crap?
Anyways, Michael Jackson's ghost is. You're here. Why don't you, tell me what you've been up to this week. See, if Josh isn't here to tell me. If he'd tell me ahead of time he wasn't going to be here, then I would know exactly what I was going to talk about. But usually he handles the first hour, and I rely on him. So I got to make it up as I go here on this show. Anyway, I just sent out a blog. Someone sent me a message and said, asked me how I do everything I do, because I have this radio show, I have a two-hour music show on the local AM station, and I'm the creator and producer of that. I got to put everything together. I'm the founder of U Space Radio, Hometown Radio, Psychic Clues. Webmaster of about 25 different websites, owner of Hot Tracks Entertainment, and I do all this without a regular job, and they're like, how the heck do you do this? So I finally had to post a blog to give away my little secret, so I guess I'll share it on here too. If you go to www.sendoutcards.com/31837. You'll see a banner at the top with my little face, and it says, click here to send a card. You click there and send somebody you care about a free greeting card on me. I use it a lot with business clients. I use it a lot with guests on the show here. I send them a card and just friends and family, and that's the little side business that I have that allows me to sit here and do everything that I want to do. So good chance, go check it out. If you want to know some more, give me a holler, I'll send you a DVD. Anyways, seeing as Josh isn't here, maybe I'll interview him when he's not even here. Josh, what's your feelings on pairing up paranormal investigators?
Different investigators work better with certain people. Everybody has their own technique. I personally sometimes like to taunt, try and get the spirits going. Some people aren't comfortable doing that, so obviously I'm not going to work with somebody like that. So you're gonna know who works best with each other and what their particular skill is. If I'm really good at EVP, I'm also not going to pair up with somebody else who's really good at EVP. I might be somebody who's more of a photographic expert. So, you're mix and match who works well with what, whose techniques best pair with somebody else. Sometimes maybe I'll take somebody who's more scientific approach and put them with somebody who might douse and be a little bit more psychic-like. And we'll go from there.
Yeah, but what do you think about orbs?
We tend to try and use evidence that has other evidence to back it up. For orbs, for instance, we generally, if we have just a single orb or even a lot of orbs, which is pretty indicative of dust, if we just have one orb and that's the only thing in the picture and there's the only occurrence at that time, we probably will end up debunking it. We're not really passing it off as solid evidence. We like to be able to say, not only was there an orb in the picture at this time, but there was a personal experience taking place. There was EMF fluctuation. We captured an EVP in the room at the relative same time as the orb. In other words, we're not just relying on one piece of evidence. If we have two or three things happening at the same time, then we're more apt to really say this is paranormal opposed to just something that is naturally occurring.
What else you got to say, Josh?
There was one machine that was going to point the ghost out to you and take its picture and have a conversation with it. Well, then that's what the piece of equipment we would bring. But there is no magical machine yet, and we don't really know what we're looking for and how to find it. So we're using what equipment is available for us in this day and age to try and find what's unknown.
Very good. My co-host Josh is missing in action, so kind of blew out the first hour of this show here, so we're making it up as we go. Say hello to everyone in the chat room. The second hour of the show, we will have Darkness Dave Schrader from Darkness on the Edge of Town will be joining me. And first hour, I'm making it up as I go, because this is usually the time we... me and Josh shoot the bull, and he usually has the agenda for the first hour, and he's missing in action somewhere. I know he went to a concert today, but apparently he didn't get out in time, or just didn't bother telling me he wasn't coming. So, anyways, last week I did a little bit of a field investigation with K2 meters and EVPs. So let me replay that for those who did not catch it.
Businesses and news, November Whiskey Golf.
Hello everyone, this is Al, and I am here in the middle of a field at Amateur Radio Field Day. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's an emergency preparedness exercise that ham radio operators do every year. I'm here to test a theory. I've heard a lot of people say that EVPs are simply stray radio signals. So I'm here in the middle of this field, about 100 feet away in all four directions, are towers with huge antennas on top, connected to radios, putting out about 100 watts apiece. I've been doing a little experimenting with a K2 meter, with all this transmitting going on here and all these radio frequencies in the air. I figured I'd test that theory. When they're actually transmitting on the air, it does make the K2 flicker. Actually right here I'm 100 feet away, and I'm getting a little in one direction, which is the frequency. They're down about 3.5 megahertz that station's running at. The one running at 7 megahertz is not affecting. Okay, it's flickering just one little light. The one running 14 megahertz does not appear to be affecting it at all. And the one running at 28 megahertz is flickering just the This is the second green light's just flickering a little bit. So normally, you don't have radios running around running this much power. Your average police department vehicle runs about 25 watts. CBs run 4, and your little handheld family-type radios are running around 5 or so. So what we've got here is stations running about 4 times what you'd normally find in your average everyday neighborhood. So I think I've pretty much laid to rest. In order to get a full-scale signal on the K2, you'd have to be right on top of it. So as long as you have your handy-talkies turned off during an investigation, I don't think there's much chance of you catching anything from outdoors. All right, another reason why I'm recording here is I want to see if any of the transmitting being done is going to wind up imprinting itself on this digital recorder. So I'm going to take a walk around the area here and get up close to the stations and see if we wind up with any strange EVPs, I guess you'd call them. So we're walking over here. If I don't get beheaded by this guy wire over here standing outside of what's called the 40 meter station. Okay, you can probably hear him, his voice coming out through the door. So, all right, now I'm past the door, right almost directly under their antenna. And now I'm going to head over here to what's called the 20 meter station. All right, I'm right underneath the 20-meter tower, and we'll see what we get there. I'll pick up anything strange on here. And the K2 is flickering as I get nearer to the stations, which is to be expected. I'll head back over here toward the 10-meter tower. All right, I'm right underneath the 10-meter tower, and it's almost full scale on the K2 when they start transmitting. Alright, we're gonna take a listen and see what we've caught.
Now, during my little walk around here, it was quite obvious to me that you had to stand right under the antenna putting out 100 watts in order for the K2 meter to register full scale. So that pretty much to me lays the theory to rest that outside radio interference is not going to trigger a K2 meter inside a building. It would have to be somebody pretty much right in the same room with you. Also, while reviewing this tape, as you can tell, I edited out a lot of it, the walking around part, and my heavy breathing. I did not catch any EVPs. Everything that was on the tape was what I heard physically with my ears. Now, I know we had Michael Baker on a few weeks back, and he did figure out a way in a lab to send a voice across a room and imprint it on a digital recorder without anyone hearing it. But using a standard radio could not make that happen. So I think we're back to what he was saying, is these are showing up on the digital recorders by ways that we do not understand currently. So rest assured, when you are out getting your EVPs or getting hits on your K2 meter, they're not coming from outside radio sources. And this is Al doing his best on-location reporter-type impersonation. And now back to you, Josh, in the studio.
Well, if Josh was in the studio, he'd probably answer. But Josh is not here. Josh is missing in action somewhere, which seems to be happening to me all weekend. My other show that I do noon to 2 here at the local AM station, the same thing happened. My co-host was missing in action, and I had to get on the phone and call him up, and he was about an hour away. He said, "Oh, I didn't know we had a show today." Well, sorry. Anyways, for those of you listening, if you got anything at all you'd like to discuss, Number 646-716-5896. That's 646-716-5896. Give a call. We pretty much have open phones here right at the moment. We'll discuss anything you want to talk about. Second hour will be Dave Schrader, host of Darkness on the Edge of Town, a paranormal show he's been doing with Tim Dennis for almost 4 years now. Host of a bunch of paranormal events around the country, Darkness events. He's also a contributing writer for Taps Para magazine and a co-author of a book, The Other Side, A Teen's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal. So he will be joining us the second hour. So we're just killing time here for the first hour. Last week we discussed a little bit about field investigations and teens and the science of ghost hunting. And will we ever find the answers? I don't know. But we played this clip from the movie Worst Nightmare, Supernatural Assault. Let's replay that.
The idea of a different dimension, domain, whatever, would suggest that it is a different place in the same place, sort of. As opposed to these being things that are, for example, you mentioned the narrow range of the visible spectra. Well, if there were something in your environment that had a color that was outside of our visual range and it stood in front of you, it wouldn't be invisible. It would just look black. You know, it would block out the light from behind and it would reflect light that you couldn't see, so it would just look dark.
Like a shadow.
It would look like a shadow.
Very interesting.
That's a good point, isn't it? Yeah, well, maybe there's something to that.
Science says if it's not in accordance with our laws, it doesn't exist. Oh, but by the way, 95% of the material that's out there, we know nothing about except that it's there. Right? So science in its own mind has limits. We're looking into possibly establishing that it's okay to believe in other dimensions, and now we're getting, you know, you and your spirit guides' response to that.
Well, they're saying science. Where does science come from?
It comes from measurement, the human experience,
yes.
Right?
They're saying man, well, therefore,
okay. Yes.
They're saying therefore, limited. It's coming from man, therefore it's going to be limited, they're saying. There's a whole nother world, like we like to say, they're saying, out there. It will never be understood by man. It's not meant to be. That is for another, they're saying, time, another dimension. It's when we pass through this life and we get to the other side, we might now know something else entirely, totally foreign to what we were used to hear.
All right, that was a clip from the movie Your Worst Nightmare, Supernatural Assault by Soul Smack Productions. And you can hear I've got a cat nearby that will not leave me alone. But that is live radio. All right, we got, 35 more minutes until Darkness Dave Schrader shows up for the second hour, which he will hopefully show up a little early and bail me out. I got to take a break here for a minute and figure out what the heck I'm going to talk about. We'll be back in a minute.
Well, prices are up and everyone is feeling the pinch. A very rich man once said, "The problem is not that prices are too high. The problem is simply you need more money." So stop worrying about how to pay the bills and devote your time to making more money. Just go to CardsAreTheAnswer.com and find out how you can start earning more income right now. The Social Security Administration states that after working 40 years, only 5 out of 100 people will be financially secure. Make sure that you are one of those 5 by starting your own part-time home-based business today. Go to cardsarentheanswer.com right now and get the information you need to become more financially free. Never worry about high prices again. Simply make more money with your own home-based business. Visit cardsarentheanswer.com right now. That's cardsarentheanswer.com. Go now.
Bit of Nickelback, burn it to the ground. And I am here all alone, my co-host Josh, who's usually the one that sets the agenda for the first hour of the show, at least, determines what we're going to discuss and what he wants to talk about. He is missing in action. I don't know where he's at. I am here all by my lonesome. This is Al Shepard, for those who didn't know. So, got to figure out what we're going to talk about until the time.
You believe this load of crap?
Until Darkness Dave Schrader gets here.
Dude, run!
Anyways, been watching a lot of paranormal shows, watched a panel discussion. Mark and Debbie Constantino, it was Patrick Burns, Chip Coffey, Father Andrew Caldor, I think his name was, John Zaffis, forgive me if I mess up any of these names. They were discussing the dangers of the paranormal and how with all these shows on TV now that a lot of people think that that's proper training to become a paranormal investigator. And that's one of the subjects I'm going to touch on with Dave when he joins us at the top of the hour. I'm wondering what you think. Is paranormal investigating, is that something that just anybody can do? Is it something that you should be specially trained to do? Is there an age limit? Should kids be involved or not? I know there's one website that now has a petition going to cancel the new show on the Cartoon Network called The Other Siders, I believe it is, where they take a team of I guess teenage investigators into places and let them investigate. Is that a good thing for kids? Should kids be allowed to do that? Can they handle it mentally? Like I said, that's one of the things I'm going to ask Dave Schrader, because I'm not quite sure where he sits on that particular topic. So anyways, this is the most boring episode of Haunted America Radio yet. Everyone has something going on, apparently. My co-host Josh Mantello is missing in action. There's not a whole lot of people in the chat room. There is no one on the phones. So it is just little old me all by myself trying to figure out what to talk about for the next 30 minutes. So, when you are listening to the archive of this, you may want to download it and then zip ahead to the 60-minute mark and get right to the good stuff with Darkness Dave Schrader. Coming up, August 2nd, I'm also a Civil War reenactor, but I've always been interested in the Old West. And I was doing some reading, and actually I watched the HBO series Deadwood again, and was kind of depressed when I got to the end of the last season and realized there wouldn't be any more. But August 2nd is the anniversary of the death of Wild Bill Hickok in Deadwood, South Dakota. So for that show, August 2nd, we're going to have a Wild West theme. Reached out to a couple people in Deadwood, South Dakota. Their names are David and Kathleen. David Soma and I believe Kathleen Lane. And they are living historians. They do reenacting. He portrays Wild Bill Hickok. She portrays Calamity Jane. He also portrays Seth Bullock, and she portrays Martha Bullock. And they also do ghost tours of the Bullock Hotel in Deadwood, South Dakota, which is one of the most haunted places in the United States, and I think it, last thing I read, it was rated the 5th most haunted place in South Dakota, I think. And I've also reached out to some people in Tombstone, Arizona, twice actually, and I haven't gotten a reply yet, so I don't know if they're just very busy, if my messages aren't getting through, or if they're just plain ignoring me. I don't know. I just wish they would take the time to at least answer my emails so I know that they're getting them. So that'll be August 2nd. It'll be a Wild West theme. Another show I'm working on. I don't know if you've heard of HemiSync. Let me give you a quick rundown on that. Back in the Grave Secrets popped into the chat room. Hello, hello. Thanks for stopping by. And if you've got anything at all you'd like to talk about, give a call, because I'm treading water here. My co-host Josh Mantello is missing in action somewhere, did not show up. And he's usually the one that sets the agenda and lets me know what we're going to do the first hour. But seeing as he's not here, I've got nothing lined up. Second hour will be Darkness Radio's Dave Schrader, but I still got to kill another 30 minutes. So for anyone who'd like to call in and discuss basically anything, so I don't have to sit here and talk to myself, number 646-716-5896. But anyways, one of the shows in the future that I'm working on is to do with HemiSync. And if you're not familiar with that, let me run through that quickly. Back in the late 40s, early 50s, Robert Monroe was vice president of NBC Radio. And he was in charge of shows like The Shadow and a lot of other things. As TV came along, he debated whether to move over into the realm of television. And it was kind of like, been there, done that. He said, I've already did it with radio. Doing the same thing with TV is the same as radio, just he had a picture. He wanted to do something different. So because his company was all experts in sound and audio, they decided to look into learning while you sleep, which is something that was big in the 50s and 60s, he says, the lazy way out. He said, but before you could figure out how to make people learn how they sleep, first you had to figure out how to put them to sleep. So him and his company experimented with different audio sounds. And he was the guinea pig. So he would sit there at work all day and play around with audio sounds. And suddenly one night, he was laying in bed and he felt something bump him on the shoulder. And he couldn't figure out what it was. And so then he looked over and he says there was a fountain growing out of his bed. And he looked at it for a minute and then he realized it wasn't a fountain, it was the chandelier. And what was bumping him on the shoulder was his ceiling. And he looked down and he sees his wife in bed with a man. So he says, I couldn't resist taking a peek to see who she was sleeping with, he says, and I got closer and realized it was me. Bob was having an out-of-body experience. And here's a man who's in his, I believe, 40s at the time, 30s, something like that. And became very intrigued about this out-of-body experience. And as he began putting two and two together, he realized it was the audio sounds that he was listening to while at work which was contributing to him having these out-of-body experiences. So he wrote a book about it. If you search Amazon for Robert Monroe, you'll find it. In fact, he wrote three books before he was done. And what he figured out was by setting different audio tones in each ear, like say a 100 hertz tone in one ear and 104 hertz in the other ear, what that does is it creates the difference, the 4 hertz signal inside your head. And by sending different audio tones in your ears, you create different frequencies in your head, which wakes up different parts of your brain. And he says what they created was what he calls body asleep, mind awake. And by varying that tone, you wake up different parts of your brain. So in the 60s, I think it was, the government got a hold of this and heard about it. And they were intrigued, so they started a study working on remote viewing. And I believe the government called this Project Stargate, where they would take people and use them as spies to look into enemy territory without actually leaving the room. As they got working on it, they did studies in the lab where they would take a 5-digit number and put it in an envelope and stick it in an adjoining laboratory room, and Bob Monroe would go to sleep and then try to have an out-of-body experience and go into the next room and read this number, which after a while he successfully did it. So as time went on, they began to realize all these different audio tones, they could do different things. They had tones which would put you to sleep. They had tones which would make you more alert. They had tones that would help you concentrate for people who had ADD. And they also found there were tones that would help you have an out-of-body experience. And that led to this product called HemiSync, which is a bunch of different collections of CDs. I think there's about 70 of them now. So if you want to experiment with expanding your psychic abilities, with experiencing out-of-body travel, astral travel, then this might be a way that you can do it. Bob Monroe wrote how over time he got brave enough to venture farther and farther away from his house. Yep, that's him. Grave Secrets, that's him. The MonroeInstitute.org website is just filled with videos. I suggest you you watch the videos, Robert Monroe's videos, also Skip Atwater, the president, has a bunch of them, and just very interesting stuff. I mean, it's hard for me to explain here, but once you watch the videos, you kind of go, wow. I got a hold of one of the CDs, and I sat here in my chair and just played it. And I swear 15 minutes went by, but when I got done and looked at the clock, it was 2 hours. And it was really freaky stuff. But anyways, Bob Monroe, at first he got brave enough to leave his house. Then he got brave enough to run over to the neighbors. He said, I run over and knock on their door and come back. He says, and then I went a little farther downtown, a little farther here, a little farther there. Finally, he got brave enough to actually venture out of this dimension and into another dimension where he met certain, I can't call them people, and he didn't really describe them as spirits either. They were more like just energy with a conscience. And they took him places, took him here, took him there, and showed him all around and showed him what was possible and what could be. And I got to get all three books and read all three of them. They're some very intriguing. I wrote or read part of the first one. Was Journeys Out of the Body, I think it's called. And I mean, this guy is not a crackpot at all. When this first started happening to him, he first went to a doctor and said, what's wrong with me? Then he went to some psychologist friends and said, what's wrong with me? And they all told him, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. When he had to go into the hospital for... Well, let me back up. As he was doing all these out-of-body experiences, he was keeping a journal. He'd write everything down. As he was going into the hospital for surgery for the clear out the carotid arteries, which today is no big deal, but back in the 50s, it was kind of a new thing, so you didn't know if you were coming out of the hospital or not. He gave his journal to a friend. Well, while he was in the hospital, the friend read the journal, loved it so much, handed it to a publisher, and that's how his first book was published. He was very afraid, being a vice president of NBC, that when his boss found out about the book, that they'd, well, shit-can him, probably. But he says it was funny. He says he was at a party, and the big boss said, Bob, come over here. I'd like to talk to you about your book. And he's like, uh-oh, here we go. And he says, my wife loves it. She's been having these experiences for years and couldn't figure out what they were. She says she's so happy that there's someone else that knows about this. So he says then he just breathed a big sigh of relief. But he devoted the rest of his life to perfecting these audio CDs, which basically will take a normal person and enhance their psychic abilities, let them experience out-of-body experiences. He's got pretty much a step-by-step procedure how to walk down this path and do it correctly, and tells you what you can expect and what not to do. And so anyway, the point of this story is, in the coming weeks, I have the executive director of the Monroe Institute, Paul Raderman, is going to be a guest on this show. I've been emailing him back and forth. We're just trying to set up a date that works for him. And sometime in the future, I will also be having a gentleman by the name of John Corkum, who is a paranormal investigator, who is a healer, and who has also used HemiSync. Because my first question was, okay, if you can use this to enhance anyone's psychic abilities, then what a great tool this would be for paranormal investigators. If you could train your whole team to enhance their psychic abilities and use that as another tool in the toolbox when you go into a haunted location, what great thing that would be. So I can't wait to get Mr. Raderman and Mr. Cordham here on the show and talk about that. I mentioned earlier, August 2nd is the anniversary of the death of Wild Bill Hickok in Deadwood, South Dakota. So we're going to have a Wild West theme for that show. I have David Soma and Kathleen Lane from Deadwood. They are living historians. He portrays Wild Bill Hickok. She portrays Calamity Jane. He also portrays Seth Bullock, and she portrays Martha Bullock, as well as a bunch of other Wild West characters. They also give ghost tours at the Haunted Bullock Hotel in Deadwood, South Dakota, which I believe has been said to be the fifth most haunted place in South Dakota or something. So they're going to come the first hour on August 2nd to share their experiences with us. The second hour, I'm hoping to get someone from Tombstone, Arizona. I've sent out a couple messages, emails, haven't gotten any response back, so I don't know if they're getting them and just ignoring them, or they're not even getting them, or what. Not sure what's going on there, but trying to line up a second guest for the second hour of August 2nd. Second hour today, in about 12 minutes or so, we're going to have Dave Schrader, the host of Darkness on the Edge of Town, a paranormal show that's been on almost 4 years now, and he does a lot of paranormal events around the country and a lot of other things, written a book, contributing writer to Taps Para Magazine, so he's going to join us. I got to give him a call in about 12 minutes. So I think I've wasted some time here. I still got another 12 minutes, so if anybody has anything they'd like to discuss, so I don't have to sit here and just talk about nothing, let me know. I see the infamous Michael Jackson video on CNN, supposedly of his ghost, has now been debunked as being a crew member. But that was kind of an interesting video to look at. I see that Patrick Swayze released a photo saying, "No, I'm not dead," even though some Jacksonville radio station spread the rumor a week or so ago that he was dead prematurely. So they say all these things, celebrities always die in groups of three. I believe we're at five right now, so we're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. Got David Carradine, Ed McMahon, Farrah Fawcett, and then Michael Jackson and Billy Mays, the OxyClean guy. So I wonder if they're betting in Vegas over who's going to be the next person. All right, let's see here. Is there more than that? Michael Jackson's ghost here says there's more than that. I haven't been watching TV. This is just what I've been picking up here and there. I'm too busy to watch much TV. One of the things I'm going to discuss with Dave Schrader, a new show on... I forgot the McNabb or McNair. Yeah, I forgot about him. Okay, the boxer I didn't hear about, but I did catch the football guy. I don't watch football, so didn't mean much to me, but Then again, Michael Jackson didn't mean much to me. No, no offense to you, Michael Jackson's ghost. But anyway, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, well, wasn't important anyways. One of the things I'm going to discuss with Dave is this new show that's out on the Cartoon Network. I believe it's called The Other Siders, where they take a group of kids. They've made a paranormal investigative team solely out of kids, and they're sending them into different locations and all this stuff. And there's a big debate going on the internet whether that's a good idea or not. Whether kids can mentally handle some of the things that they might experience, you know, demons and things like that. If they're up to the challenge. I mean, I know every kid is different. They all mature at a different level. So there was a big panel discussion on that with Chip Coffey and Patrick Burns, John Zaffis, a bunch of people. If you go to dangersoftheparanormal.com, all the video clips are there. And there's one little clip there from Dave Schrader. So I wanted to ask him what his thoughts were. Seeing that he wrote a book called The Other Side, A Team's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal. And on that same Dangers of the Paranormal website, there is a petition you can sign, a bunch of people that want Cartoon Network to pull this show off the air, saying it's inappropriate. Kids should not be put in this position. So I kind of want to get a feel from Dave here, how he feels on that. What side of the coin he's on, what side of the fence. And maybe those of you in the chat room can just type in what you think. Is it a good idea? I'm kind of undecided myself, because I know some kids, most kids, I believe, can see spirits. That's where a lot of imaginary friends come from. So do we cultivate that, knowing that they can already see it, or do we shut them down? I know some friends that are nudists, and it kind of reminds me of the same argument that they've always had. You're born naked. The body is not a shameful thing until we make it so. So is it the same way with spirits? You know, seeing spirits and talking to ghosts, is it a bad thing, or is it a natural thing that we turn into a bad thing? You know, we make the word ghost sound scary and fearful. And what if we didn't do that? What if we, from the time the kids were born, we just explained that as being natural? Oh, I just saw Grandma. Well, yeah, Grandma went to a different spiritual plane, but she stops back and sees us now and then. And if you had that attitude through the whole time they were growing up, what would you wind up with? You know, this society, you know, with the horror films, you know, we're always taught when we're little that these things are bad and scary, and yeah, it's nice to be scared and watch them on TV, but you don't ever want to be around them for real. So, you know, I'm not sure where to come down on this side of the fence here. So, I've got to get Mr. Darkness Dave on the phone here in about 5 minutes. I see Michael Jackson's ghost here says, "Damn if you do, damn if you don't." Grave Secrets, you got any? You want to jump in on one side or the other with this? Okay, you had a talk with someone recently who said that ghosts are basically the devil coming through. Well, that's another discussion there too. Is hell real? Or was it something that was just created by organized religion to scare people into following church doctrine? The things we think of as demons, are they actually from the devil, from hell? Or are they just really negative human spirits or something? You know, there's different theories about that too. That's what I love about paranormal investigating and the whole paranormal science field here, is we're in on the ground floor. There is no right and wrong. There is no definitive answers. And we all have the same equal chance of stumbling upon that one awesome piece of evidence. It doesn't have to be an investigative crew with $10,000 worth of equipment. It could be a lone person with a camera and a voice recorder that might wind up with that one awesome piece of evidence. All right, Grave Secret says he saw a ghost when he was a kid. I think it's a he. Granted, it was a family pet, but I saw it. You cannot tell me that was something... That's it. I think of it as most spirits are, you know, they were people. And the majority of people are nice, I think. But you get a few bad apples, so of course you're going to get a few bad spirits as well. Can't judge with a broad brush, you know. Anyways, I got to jump off of here for a few minutes and go get Mr. Darkness Dave on the phone. So I'm going to fire up this clip we played last week, the little investigation I did for Field Day on EVPs and K2 meters, and I shall be back in a moment.
Frequencies in use. November Whiskey Golf.
Hello everyone, this is Al, and I am here in the middle of a field at Amateur Radio Field Day. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's an emergency preparedness exercise that ham radio operators do every year. I'm here to test a theory. I've heard a lot of people say that EVPs are simply stray radio signals. So I'm here in the middle of this field, about 100 feet away in all four directions, are towers with huge antennas on top, connected to radios, putting out about 100 watts apiece. I've been doing a little experimenting with a K2 meter. With all this transmitting going on here and all these radio frequencies in the air, I figured I'd test that theory. When they're actually transmitting on the air, it does make the K2 flicker. Actually, right here, I'm 100 feet away, and I'm getting a little in one direction, which is the frequency. They're down about 3.5 megahertz. That station's running at. The one running at 7 megahertz is not affecting... Okay, it's flickering just one little light. The one running 14 megahertz does not appear to be affecting it at all. And the one running at 28 megahertz is flickering just the second green light's just flickering a little bit. So normally, you don't have radios running around running this much power. Your average police department vehicle runs about 25 watts. CBs run 4. And your little handheld family-type radios are running around 5 or so. So what we've got here is stations running about 4 times what you'd normally find in your average everyday neighborhood. So I think I've pretty much laid to rest. In order to get a full-scale signal on the K2, you'd have to be right on top of it. So as long as you have your handy talkies turned off during an investigation, I don't think there's much chance of you catching anything from outdoors. All right, another reason why I'm recording here is I want to see if any of the transmitting being done is going to wind up imprinting itself on this digital recorder. So I'm going to take a walk around the area here and get up close to the stations and see if we wind up with any strange EVPs, I guess you'd call them. So we're walking over here. If I don't get beheaded by this guy wire over here standing outside of what's called the 40 meter station. Okay, you can probably hear him, his voice coming out through the door. So, alright, now I'm past the door, right almost directly under their antenna. And now I'm going to head over here to what's called the 20 meter station. Alright, I'm right underneath the 20 meter tower, and we'll see what we get there. Pick up anything strange on here. And the K2 is flickering as I get nearer to the stations, which is to be expected. Head back over here toward the 10 meter tower. Alright, I'm right underneath the 10 meter tower, and it's almost full scale on the K2 when they start transmitting. Alright, we're gonna take a listen and see what we've caught.
Now, during my little walk around here, it was quite obvious to me that you had to stand right under the antenna putting out 100 watts in order for the K2 meter to register full scale. So that pretty much to me lays the theory to rest that outside radio interference is not going to trigger a K2 meter inside a building. It would have to be somebody pretty much right in the same room with you. Also, while reviewing this tape, as you can tell, I edited out a lot of it, the walking around part, and my heavy breathing. I did not catch any EVPs. Everything that was on the tape was what I heard physically with my ears. Now, I know we had Michael Baker on a few weeks back. He did figure out a way in a lab to send a voice across the room and imprint it on a digital recorder without anyone hearing it. But using a standard radio could not make that happen. So I think we're back to what he was saying, is these are showing up on the digital recorders by ways that we do not understand currently. So rest assured, when you are out getting your EVPs or getting hits on your K2 meter, they're not coming from outside radio sources. And this is Al, doing his best on-location reporter-type impersonation. And now back to you, Josh, in the studio.
Well, since Josh isn't here, I got to talk to myself. That was a little investigation I did at the Amateur Radio Field Day a couple weeks ago. And now, our guest today has been the host of Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show on KTLK-FM for the last, I guess, almost 4 years. Heard Saturdays and Sunday nights from 9 to midnight Central Time. He's co-written The Other Side, A Teen's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal, available on Amazon.com. He's a contributing writer for Taps Para Magazine. He hosts paranormal events around the country, which usually include some of the biggest names in the paranormal community, and usually include Dave in his ducky pajamas. Great guy who sends out prayer and healing requests regularly. I see he's one of the two people that actually watch the show. Scott Bale is 45. Has a line of t-shirts with great sayings like, "Don't scare me, I poop easily," and "I think I just EVP'd." I'd like to welcome to Haunted America Radio, Mr. Dave Schrader. Are you there, Dave?
I am, Mel. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I know I was over listening to one of your shows, and we got chatting back and forth in the chat room, and I remember, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I remember you
the comment is coming up about promote me, and I said, sure, I'll put my money where my mouth is. So I wanted to get you on the show here, and I got I know a lot of shows probably steer you down the path that they want you to go down, but I'm gonna give the floor to you at first here, and see if there's anything in particular that you want to discuss and get out there, and we'll hit that right off first here.
Well, you know, I'm pretty open to whatever you'd like to talk about. I've been lucky enough to have strange occurrences my whole life, from visitations from my grandmother after she died, to a Bigfoot sighting when I was about 10, 11 years old, to my grandfather visiting, seeing other spirits at haunted locations, and then getting a chance to, over the last 3 years, 4 years, do my radio show and do live events where I get to go all over the United States with great listeners and fans of all the great paranormal TV shows out there, and get a chance to do live investigations at some of the most reported haunted locations on the planet. And it's been an absolute blast.
Now, how did the radio show come about? I mean, were you in radio before that, or?
You know, I did radio in college with my co-host and producer, Tim. We worked at KQAL 89.5, I think it was, in Winona. Radio Alternative College radio station. It was a great, great time, lots of fun, made some great lifelong friends working there, and Tim and I remained close, and he kind of went into the world of radio, and I wandered back into the world of sales, and, you know, whereas we stayed close friends, we never worked in radio again until about 4 years ago, and Tim was working at a radio station, KLBB, here in the Twin Cities, and they had a couple of openings for shows, and he said, hey, you know, we have a coin show, we have a collectible gold show, we have a vitamin show and a real estate show. What kind of show do you want to put on? I said, hey, why don't we put on a paranormal radio show? And we were originally given an hour slot every Sunday night from 10 to 11. No, I'm sorry, 11 to midnight. And after about a month and a half on the air, we had really good results. People liked the show and they were tuning in. And we were bumped from 11 to midnight, and we got to start doing 10 to midnight. We sat in that spot for about 3 years, and then last August 24th, we got picked up at a nice big station, KTLK, AM, or it's an FM station, 100.3 FM here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. But people can listen to the show anywhere in the United States by going to ktlkfm.com and listen to the live stream. That's, you know, it's just been a nice little transition. We got picked up a year ago when we moved from Sunday nights to Saturday and Sunday 9 p.m. to midnight Central Time, and that's 10 p.m. till 1 a.m. Eastern Time.
Yeah, my first thought is, boy, are you lucky. I do a two-hour music show from noon to 2 here on the local AM station here in town. And I approached them with the idea of a paranormal station, and they came back to me and told me it was inappropriate content. And that's why we're here on Blog Talk Radio. I said, fine, if I can sit here in my living room and do this, and I don't have to travel to the studio.
Some of the stations, some of the stations are still, you know, reticent to do that. And, you know, we talked to quite a few stations over the last 3 years to try to move up to a bigger signal, and you know, there was a lot of hesitation because of the content. But now you've got shows like Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International, Most Haunted, Paranormal State, Ghost Adventures, just Psychic Kids, Medium, Ghost Whisperer, Supernatural, all these different shows covering these type of topics, and it's just become like a household thing now, and I think it's a little bit easier to talk about, and people are a little bit more open to doing it. You know, we're on a political radio station. You know, most of the day during the week, you can hear people like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, and, you know, you'd think the last thing in the world you'd hear would be a show about ghosts and UFOs and Bigfoot on Saturday and Sunday, but that's, it's been a really good fit for us. We work in a really good environment with, a very supportive radio station and Clear Channel, who stands behind us and has been a great support system for the show and has kept us floating here for the last year. And it's just been great to grow the show and kind of do something that you love to do.
Yeah, well, there's some people that might say it's not such a big leap to go from Glenn Beck to Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's true.
Glenn Beck's the only person.
I was thinking you'd say Rush Limbaugh going from Big Mouth to Bigfoot. That's
yeah. No, Glenn Beck, he's my guy. I mean, he when he started doing the rallies for America years ago, he's the only person that moved me enough to actually jump in the car with the family, drive 8 hours to Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, to participate in a rally for America, and then turn around and drive 8 hours back the same day because I had to work the next day. So he's wow. Definitely got a way about him, I tell you. And the sure. rallies for America were unbelievable. Being in such a patriotic crowd, I've never seen so many American flags all in one place. You know, so I got to give him kudos for that. You've got a lot of other things going on here. As I was doing my research on you here, let's see, you've written a book.
Right.
Co-written, the other side, A Teen's Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal.
Yes.
And then I saw your interview.
And that book actually comes out the first of September.
Okay, so it hasn't even come out yet.
No, it's pre-order. People can order it at Amazon.com.
Okay.
And, you know, I almost wish they wouldn't have limited us with a teen's guide, because this is a really good book for beginners and people that have been doing it for a long time. Patrick Burns from the TV show Haunting Evidence, myself, and young adult author Marley Gibson wrote this book together. It's an addendum to Marley's very popular book series called Ghost Huntress, which is a novel three-book series about a young girl that becomes a ghost hunter. And, you know, trying to speak to the teen audience, we wanted to put together a book that was really good, you know, using all the experiences that we'd learned doing ghost hunting ourselves and all the great experiences from all the fantastic people in the field that we're friends with, from Jane Grant to Steve to Chris Fleming and John Oliver and Barry Taft, Dr. Barry Taft and Dr. Pamela Heath, and just all these fantastic people that we've had to work with over the last 3-4 years. Well, we've just taken all the best tips and hints and things and put them together in one comprehensive kind of book to teach you about ghost hunting and the ins and outs of it, the understanding of it. And you know, it's directed towards teens, but it's a great book for anybody that wants to get into the paranormal, because it really covers everything from putting together a team to demonology to how to protect your team and, you know, what kind of equipment to use, you know, how things are, explanations of why things happen the way they do. So, you know, it's a pretty good book for anybody that wants to get in there, but it's, you know, it just has a teen-geared name.
Okay, because I was going to ask, I saw your video clips on dangersoftheparanormal.com,
right.
And I watched the panel discussion that was there. So where do you come down on the fence here? I noticed that website has a petition going to shut down the show The Other Siders there on Cartoon Network. What are your feelings as far as kids being involved in paranormal stuff?
Well, you know, I don't know. It's just there are dangers. I think the idea is to educate people. Dangers go away when you educate people. The reason that there's trouble for kids is that they're taught the wrong way. They go out and they do stupid things, and then they can be hurt. You know, you wouldn't take a kid to a dirt bike rally and then, you know, throw the kid a pair of keys who's never been on a dirt bike and expect him to not get in trouble. First of all, I'll tell you, I'm a fan of the Other Siders TV series. I think it's a good show. I think I like the way the team works. There's some mistakes they make. I think they got to stop whispering to one another when they're, you know, trying to do EVP sweeps and ghost hunt. But overall, I think for a group of kids, they do a pretty fun little show. And at the end, they're very, you know, one or two of them will say, yeah, I think this is haunted. And the other two or three will say, no, I don't think it's haunted, and this is why. And I think that's great. They're not all just, yeah, that's haunted. Oh, that's cool. And they're learning. You know, there was a learning curve on Ghost Hunters, on Dead Famous, on Most Haunted, on Haunting Evidence. You know, a lot of these, from the way they originated to where they are now, there was a lot of change in those shows. And I believe that's what will happen as these kids start to grow and understand, and hopefully they'll incorporate some mentors as time goes along on the show. Do I think it should be closed down? No, I just think that then we should take more time and educate people, you know, educate the kids. If the kids want to know how to ghost hunt, they want to get involved with it, you know, maybe stop playing video games. Get them out and start reading, teaching them about this stuff. Finding out, first of all, why do they have an interest? Sometimes, you know, we have an interest in the paranormal for totally different reasons, you know. I have an interest because I'm terrified of death. I want to know what comes next. Some people aren't afraid of death, but they're just interested in the whole concept that there's something else going on that we can't see. Others want to know about the science of it. So maybe it's getting to the heart of what a teenager or a kid wants to know about the paranormal. I think it's more dangerous to tell a kid, no, you're too young. Because then they're going to go do it anyway. And they're watching shows like Ghost Hunters and Dead Famous and Most Haunted and Haunting Evidence, and they're going to, you know, try to put together, and they're going to do it improperly. And that's not saying that those shows do it improperly, but they don't, you know, unfortunately don't have time to go through a how-to manual on each episode. They do great jobs, each one of them. They already know what they're doing, and we as viewers are just accepting the fact that they know what they're doing. We're just watching for entertainment. It's like the Love Boat. We don't need to see Captain Stubing steering the ship or them, you know, fueling up the ship and the cooks making the meals to know that that's all going on. I think with shows like The Othersiders, it's a good way to broach a subject for kids, make kids feel a part of it. And kids have a huge connection to the other side and to the paranormal already. You know, to stifle it, it's now what we've all complained about as adults. That, oh, you know, I used to see things when I was a kid, but, you know, everybody told me I was a liar or I was imagining things or I was a freak, and it kind of shut down. Well, why should we do that to our kids? We're into this field because we were kind of stifled as kids, and we didn't get that information. We had to read it in books, and there was no hands-on. Well, now there's a chance for hands-on. So I think let's take the time, like with our book, to teach them the right way to do things and explain to them why you don't want to do this, this, and this, and why that's important, not just because I'm your dad and I said I don't want you to do that. Right? I mean, how much water did that hold for you growing up?
Exactly. Like I was mentioning a little while ago here, talking with the people in the chat room before you came on, I've got some people that I know that are in the nudist community, and it's almost the same thing with them, that how you look at that, okay, you're born naked, and you know, whether it's a bad thing or a good thing is all on how it's perceived and brought up to you, you know, how you're taught as a child. And it's the same way with spirits. You know, if the, most kids, I guess, can see spirits, I mean, that's where the imaginary friends come from a lot of times.
Some of them,
and
right?
And if, okay, you know, the kid comes to you and said, I just saw Grandma, you know, and you explained it to him, okay, well, Grandma's moved on to another plane of existence, but she stops back now and then just to check in on us and see how we're doing, it wouldn't be such a big deal. But no, you got everybody running around, and with all the horror movies and everything else, you know, the minute you mention the word ghost, you're immediately scared to, you know, get the crap scared out of you. And that's the way we're conditioning the kids to begin with, and it's not so much a true danger as it is what the parents are making out of it. You know, if you don't make a big deal out of it, then it won't be one.
You know, and I when I did the interview for The Dangers of the Paranormal, I spoke from the heart. I do think that kids shouldn't just jump into paranormal investigating, but I don't think they should jump into paranormal investigating with the limited resources available to them. I think it's important if they want to do something like play guitar. They can't just start a band tomorrow, right? You can't just pick up a guitar and start a band. You have to train. You have to pick up a guitar. You have to learn to play. You have to show some effort that you're putting into this to work on it and practice and understand it. You're going to do that before you ever go out and start performing in concert. So that should be the same with paranormal, is start to read about it. Understand it, research it, watch these shows, understand why they're doing what they do on these shows, you know, and giving yourself a better grasp of the reality of a paranormal investigation. I think that's more important. You know, and we've already got detractors and people, oh, you're charlatans and your book should never be published, and I can't believe it's being published by Houghton Mifflin, and they're the fine people that do educational books for Scholastic and for school, and anybody that ever cracked open a science book knows Houghton Mifflin's name, and I can't believe they're going to... Well, that's the whole idea. They're about educating people, education, giving the right ideas, giving the right answers, so that people know how to move forward, how to progress, and then they can make a better educated decision. Because in our book, we don't paint a rosy picture of what it is to ghost hunt. We talk about the fact that there are problems. You know, I tell kids, you know, yeah, we all went into the old abandoned, you know, warehouse or the old abandoned house when we were kids. And the thing is that life is different now than it was in 1978 when I did it. And, you know, you've got squatters, you've got homeless people, drug addicts, gangs that hang out in these old locations now. And, again, you're gonna be a lot more weary and afraid of the living than you do of the dead. And get into these positions can get you in a lot of trouble. And I'd rather the teens know that and understand the dangers. And I have an entire chapter that I wrote, and I read it to two different demonologists. Let them hear the chapter, because when I first said I wrote a chapter on demonology for a kid's book on how to ghost hunt, their jaws dropped. They're like, are you nuts? And I said, well, wait, read about it. And the whole chapter is, this is why you don't want to be a demonologist. It's not cool. It's not great. It's not extreme ghost hunting. This is real important. This is dealing with spirituality. This is dealing with dark and light. This is dealing with things that are way over your heads. It's even over the heads of most adults. There is a very few calling, and if you feel the calling to help people that are in the situation, then you could talk to your clergy and start to work and get help doing that. And we talked about that this doesn't just affect you. It affects your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, your girlfriend, your dog, your cat. This can affect everybody, the work that you do in this field. So we don't take it lightly. This book wasn't made as, hey, wouldn't it be groovy if we went out and caught a ghost? This isn't the Scooby-Doo Guide to Ghost Hunting. This is a good book about how to do it the right way, so that if kids are going to do it, they know what's going on, they understand, and they can grasp the fact that there are risks involved. And
I wonder
to give the kids more perspective.
I wonder how many science scores would go up in school if kids did more work with EMF meters and EVPs and all that stuff.
Hey, they're starting to understand what's going on around us. And, you know, that's the whole thing, too, is I'm not a big proponent of the fact that I don't believe everything around us is dead people. I don't believe that every energy and communication is dead people. I think there's a lot more going on. I think that there is bleed through from time. I believe that there is bleed through between dimensions and parallel universes. I do believe that firmly. I believe that's why we get so many strange EVPs of voices that are just as confused by us asking questions as we are by getting their answers. I think there's a lot more.
Yeah, because they're on the other side thinking the same thing. I just heard a ghost.
Right, exactly. And here we are. You know, this is great. That opens up the mind for science. Look at, you know, people laugh and make fun of shows like Star Trek. But then look at all the people that were influenced by Star Trek to create and make things. And, you know, a lot of the top people in the field of technology were inspired to do what they do, from the first cell phone creators to, you know, computer analysts, computer programmers, because they learned stuff on Star Trek, and it inspired their mind to educate and learn more. Well, if these shows can do anything, let's educate and enlighten people. You know, the next generation of inventors is out there, and what if they do figure out how to bridge that gap to get the answers? Let's give them a chance to do the right thing as well. So I'm a big fan of trying to teach them. I think The Other Siders is a good little show. I think some people take themselves way too serious in the field of the paranormal. And I know I'll probably take some heat for that, but the fact of the matter is Dan is a good guy that runs the whole Dangers of the Paranormal thing. I think they're tackling the wrong issue. They shouldn't be tackling, oh, the kids shouldn't do this, because then we might as well start saying, down with rock and roll, and, oh, all that crazy Elvis hip-shaking music, that's just from the devil. You know what? Let's not do that. Let's educate the kids. Let's give them the right information. And I understand I'm not picking on Dan. He has the right mind and the right heart, and I believe from talking to him at the events when we filmed ours, that he has the right concept of that this shouldn't be taken lightly, and we don't feel it should either. And I don't necessarily think the show is being taken lightly, but there's no adults being shown. You know why? Because kids don't hang out with adults in real life. Kids do
that,
things.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was Mark and Debbie that said during that round table thing there that, oh, if mom and dad are interested in it, then we don't want nothing to do with it.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's a lot of it. Now, my kids are biting chomping at the bit here to try to go ghost hunting. And I'll tell you what, I took my son with me last night for the first time to show him, A, there's nothing to be afraid of the other side. but this is the right way to do things. This is the wrong way to do things. This is why Dad is so protective of you and keeps you out of it. And you know what? That was enough to satisfy him. And we're good to go now. You know, it's not something that's going to be an everyday occurrence where they're going to be out ghost hunting and they're going to, but we explain the principles of what are we doing? Why are we trying to communicate? How are we communicating? What are we using these tools for? What are the answers? Because the fact is, he could turn on any one of these pieces of equipment in our home whenever I'm not home anyway and experiment with them. But for God's sakes, he doesn't know what he's doing. That's when he started having the problems with Ouija boards. Now I can give my kids the lessons. Hey, listen, Ouija boards are not a good toy to play with because, and I can cite some examples of things that have gone wrong in people's lives messing with Ouija boards. Now my kids look at me with respect because I don't hide it from them and treat it like a dirty little secret and let's take sexual education out of the school's theory. This is more about making it real and understanding it. And then, okay, now that you know and you have your answers, most of the time once they figure out, oh, this is what you do, oh, that's cool. Okay, hey, can I go play Pokemon with a neighbor kid? You know, they're over it.
Yep.
And they're on to something else. But they're questioning. So I think that's important. And if you shun them, push them away and make them feel like it's taboo or that they shouldn't do it and it's only for adults to do, I think that's when they're going to run out and they're going to start doing it on their own, and that's when they're going to start opening up problems, being in places they shouldn't be, bringing home attachments, playing with dark arts and dark magic. That's when they're going to start doing this, because if they don't have proper leadership and they don't have people telling them the right way to do things, then that's when they're going to start doing the stupid stuff, and that's when they're going to start getting themselves in a whole heap of trouble. And then groups like us are called in. And how often do we get that? A paranormal group is called in. Why? Our kids found a Ouija board, and they were playing with a Ouija board in the basement. Now all hell is broken loose. Well, did you ever talk to your kids about a Ouija board? No. Well, did you ever play with a Ouija board? No, man, they freaked me out. I saw The Exorcist. I don't want anything to do with it. Okay, well, did you ever explain that to your kids? Well, no, I didn't know that they were going to find a Ouija board. All right. Well, let's educate us. You know, let's educate kids in this field.
Sounds like the discussion on sex.
Yeah, exactly. You know, now, and again, it's up to parents, you know, and it's up to parents.
Yeah.
Do you want your child to, you know, here's the deal. I can tell you about condoms, and I can tell you that, you know, sex should really be between two consenting adults who know what the risks are and understand what lifelong commitment means when you're about to have a child together. Or I can stick my head in the sand and say, no, 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 my kids just won't know about it if I don't talk about it. Because you know what? My mom and dad never sat me down, and it didn't stop me from having sex.
Exactly.
Right?
It makes me think of someone I heard that was told that you got pregnant by kissing. And she couldn't figure out why she was pregnant because they never kissed.
Nice. Well, that's the game. People are getting into positions where they're opening up stuff and dabbling in places they shouldn't dabble, and then when all hell breaks loose, they're calling us. Well, let's try to preemptive strike that and teach the kids the right way to do things and answer their questions and explain why we don't mess with certain things and what divination means and what it means to allow things to control you. And don't do this. It's not cool. It's not great. It's not fun. And, you know, you're dealing with something that's of a mature content. Let's explain it and talk to them like adults. When I talk to my kids, not trying to be their buddy, I'm not their friend, I'm their parent. And anybody who tells me, I want to be my kid's best friend, you know, that's a great idea in theory. But just like your boss, when you're best friends with your boss, there's no real respect there. Because he's your buddy. Come on, he's not going to be mad. I can screw around. You know, you got to still be authoritative and be a parent. And that's what I'm trying
exactly.
to do with my kids is I want them to understand and I want to educate them and I want to be their friend, but first and foremost, my job is to be their parent and be their main educator.
And be respected, exactly.
That's right.
I got a little clip here of one of your interviews, and
mm-hmm.
now that we've talked about kids, let's talk about the adults that are there to train them. So let me just fire this up here.
The one thing that I've really enjoyed, like everybody else out there, is the onslaught of all the paranormal TV programming that's come out. I love all these different shows and the different parameters and the dynamics of the groups that they bring. The one thing I've always questioned, though, is are we creating a monster out in the field? Now there's thousands of new paranormal groups popping up. Most of them seem to have not the best intentions in mind. They're out to try to prove to themselves proof of the paranormal instead of helping clients that are in need of help to deal with a spirit or a malevolent force that may be bothering their homes, and they're out more for the pure thrill of trying to ghost hunt instead of actually investigating, understanding, and trying to help the families that are in need of help and that might be in crisis. So my thoughts on this, and we've mentioned it on the show repeatedly, is I think that as much good as it's done to tear the top off and kind of open up Pandora's box to the paranormal that the television shows have done, I can see that there's been some damage in the fact that now everybody that's watched, you know, or owns all four seasons of Ghost Hunters or, you know, Medium on a DVD now believe that they're a paranormal expert and they're out there in the field and they're not prepared for the things they're running into. That, I think, is probably the most dangerous fact of the paranormal field right now.
Still feel that way?
Wow, that guy's intelligent. He's well-spoken and has a really thought-out plan. Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, the problem is that all these groups are out there half-cocked. First of all, there's so many groups popping up on a regular basis. And here's what happens. I try to join group ABC. ABC doesn't want me because their group is already big enough, and they don't need any more people. So I'm going to go check with DEF. DEF doesn't want any new people, and they're big enough. Well, then I'm going to go check with the XYZ group. They're not big enough. Well, screw you. I'm going to start my own group because I want to investigate. None of these other teams will allow me to join their team. So I can't learn, so now I'm going to try to build my own team, and that's when it starts being problematic. If teams were a little bit more open and had a rotating roster that allowed you to educate and work with these people in the area, first of all, it would expose you to many more cases. It would expose you to many more ideas and theories, and if you close your doors to people because you're being elitist and you've already got a big enough group, when is it ever big enough? You know, if you've got 100 people in your team... Wouldn't that be great if you had 100 people and 100 different expertise, 100 different things you could pull from, you know, and removed ego from it and all had a common goal? That would be great. I think that a lot
of
people...
What about these teams that don't allow husband and wives? What do you think of that? Don't allow couples.
You know,
I know a lot of groups have started because of that rule.
Right. Well, it, you know, again, that's like work that says you can't, you know, work with your wife or your husband here. You know, that's your, you know, allotment. There's so much flipping drama in this stupid field already. People are already fighting over this, fighting over that. They don't want to worry about, okay, at the end of this, if this marriage doesn't last, who gets custody of the paranormal team? Well, I'm not, when I'm out with them more, well, screw you, because I like Betty and Barney more, and they want me to hang out in the group, and they don't want you to be a part of it. I can see that drama being eliminated, but, you know, the fact is, go into it maturely, and worry about that bridge when it comes to it. And, you know, if you're in a position, and this should just be the rule, if you're in a position where you've had a fight that day, and you're emotionally unstable, and you're not in the place, you shouldn't be investigating whether you're married and together at the ghost hunt, or whether you're married, you had the fight with your wife, and then you come to ghost hunt that night. If you're in
a bad mental place,
you shouldn't be there. It shouldn't matter if your wife is part of the team. But, you know, again, that's just, it's people's preference, and everybody's trying to control every facet of the paranormal, and you can't do that and be successful. Here's the deal. I think the danger is in that all these different TV shows are out there and inspiring people to get started, but that there's no follow-up. Unfortunately, there's no place for people to go after they watch an episode of Ghost Hunters. Now, there is the Paranormal Taps boot camp that they have in different cities and states. That's great, but they're not going to hit every city and every state. They're going to do their best to try to code it, but that's still only a 1 or 2 day course. You know, and that's great. Just like our events, we try to hit 5, 6 different locations a year, try to educate people that are in that area that want to learn about the paranormal, show them on a ghost hunt, have some fun ghost hunting that night. And that's the extent of it. But the people that are just out there and think that they're investigating the paranormal because, A, they want to find the next Amityville Horror, and they want to have all these, you know, fame and accolades, and that's what a lot of people are about, and that's why there's so much infighting in the crowd of why nobody wants to share evidence, why nobody wants to share a cool haunted location. Instead of working together to prove or disprove a haunting, we're also worried we're holding the keys to an imaginary kingdom that doesn't exist. We all hoard that little imaginary gold mine. You know, that's where the problem lies. There's too many half-cocked people running around, but eventually the bubble's going to burst. People are going to get tired of the BS, and they're just going to stop doing it, and things will straighten, and it will be a corrective curve. It's just like the housing bubble. It went crazy. Houses dropped in price, and the people had the money to pay it, and, you know, banks were there, and everybody went out, bought, and the houses kept getting higher and higher and higher and higher, and they'd sell their house and buy a new, bigger, better house, and now look at the financial mess the world is in. Well, you know what? everything will correct itself eventually. The crap teams are disappearing every day. Every day there's some two or three teams.
When I first jumped on Blog Talk Radio, I wanted to see how many other paranormal shows were out there, and I tuned into one, and the whole hour was someone yelling and screaming about another group. They were just arguing on the air for an hour about, and I'm like, how childish, you know? I said, I don't want our show to turn into that, you know? And Josh and I, we're kind of like, well, not opposites, but he's the founder of Berkshire Paranormal Group. You know, he goes into the houses and he investigates and he helps clients and all that stuff. I'm more from the other camp, like you were just discussing, where I'm just interested in the paranormal. You know, the wife and I, we'll grab a voice recorder and go to the cemetery and see what we catch.
Sure.
And I'm a big believer in, I read Sarah Estep's book, Voices of Eternity, the founder of AAEVP, and how she didn't go anywhere. I mean, she just sat in an office twice a day for 10 minutes at a time, just talking to no one, and recorded some of the most amazing EVPs I've ever seen, you know, without even leaving the house. And that's what I think all these shows on TV is, kind of a double-edged sword. Like you said, everybody and their brother's getting into it that don't know what they're doing. But at the same time, this is such an amazing field that anyone is able to get into it. The groups with $10,000 worth of equipment, you know, have the same chance of catching that one remarkable definitive piece of evidence as I do sitting in a room all by myself with a camera and a voice recorder. You know, it's such a level playing field that I can't help but think the more people that get into it, the quicker we're going to get to those answers that we're looking for. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword for me.
Right. I totally agree with you. But, you know, that's why if we just keep focusing and try to do the best we can do and present the best information we can present and you know, share the ideas and the things that seem to work best, that's, you know, that's our position in the media as a paranormal radio show host. And, you know, like you were saying, when we started on the paranormal radio show, I knew of Coast to Coast. I didn't know about the 900 other radio shows out there. I really didn't, because I didn't surf the Internet looking for radio shows about the paranormal. I knew of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, and that was the extent of it. You know, and then got in, I found Ghostly Talk and Night Watch and a couple of the other veteran shows that had been around with Lou Gentile. Then, over the last 3 years, if you go to Blog Talk, I think there's close to, like, last I checked, it was like about 10,000 or some crazy amount of different paranormal shows out there. So
exactly, and what kind of what are they teaching people, you know, and where is it coming from, and what are
people out there doing it, and I think that's great.
Yeah,
if they're trying to do something and live their passion, I'm all for it. And again, I'm not here to judge them, I'm not here to do anything like that, but again, just like the paranormal teams and groups out there, the cream will rise to the top, the crap will float away, and eventually we'll be done with the 9 million different radio shows out there, and it'll hone down, and people will listen to the top 10, 12 shows that they find that are really interesting and that they can get something from.
Well, I'm quite
sure
I'm
hoping that happens and we rectify with all the teams, too.
I know Michael Baker, we had him on the show, I don't know, a month or so ago, and he's actually set up a database, Paranormal Evidence Archive, where he's trying to get groups together to share evidence and information so we can actually make some sort of database and come up with some patterns, you know, so like, okay, we know ghostly activity happens more during a full moon or something like that, you know.
Right.
And I think that's a great thing, but like you said, with all the infighting, I don't know if that's ever going to happen, and if most of the groups are just going to fall by the wayside and you're going to be left with a handful of groups anyways, you know.
Right. Well, you know, I think there's a WWPC, which is like the Worldwide Paranormal Research Center, and they do the same thing, where they want to take the evidence and build the information so they know where it's coming from and why we're getting certain hauntings at certain times of year. And I'm all for that. But again, it's, you know, but and the good thing is that the real teams out there are sharing that. The good teams and the solid teams are doing it. It's just hopefully we're not going to do too much damage with the bad teams in the interim. But yeah, people are out there trying to just strike it rich and get their own TV show with their paranormal team, and that's the only object of their show, is that they just are looking for that. Yeah, I definitely believe that that is the wrong reasons to have a paranormal team. You know, if it's about actually helping and research, I think that's fantastic. And what more could you ask for from a, you know, bunch of strangers coming together for a common good of trying to help each other understand and not be afraid and take back their lives? And there are a lot of people out there that are affected by the paranormal in a negative light, and they feel horrible and they feel frightened and they feel terrified for their lives. And this is the way that we can help them get their life back.
Exactly. I mean, and I'm not even sure how I stumbled out of this show. I just woke up one morning and said, I want to do a paranormal show. It wasn't because of any one experience that I had, but I did have a couple heart attacks. And I think that's what you said, the way you're coming from is, you know, I just want to know what's out there, what's coming next. I don't like surprises. You know, I'd like to know ahead of time what to expect, and that's probably why Sarah Estep's EVPs intrigued me so much, because it wasn't just talking to earthbound spirits in haunted houses. She was actually talking to people that have already crossed over and were giving her you know, descriptions of what goes on in heaven or whatever you want to call it, and those are the answers I'm looking for. I want to know what's
right, but you know, when it comes down to it, are we ever going to really get the answers? How do we know we're not being led astray by some malevolent spirit who thinks it's funny to tell you that, you know, Jesus Christ is really Ronald McDonald and we should all praise the, you know, Almighty Big Mac? You know,
that's it. Unless someone comes,
so we're not going to know until we're
that
dead.
You knew,
you know, but it's fun to try to find out the answers.
Unless someone comes through that you knew personally and you can recognize their voice and you trust that person, but then again, there's always that thing in the back of your mind that, okay, somebody's imitating something just to make it so.
Exactly.
You're probably right. You're probably right. You're never going to trust anything anyway, but. Well, actually, I watched the movie from Soul Smack Productions, Your Worst Nightmare, Supernatural Assault,
right.
I think. And part of one of the clips in there was ladies' spirit guides were saying, you're never going to understand it. You're not meant to. Not in this lifetime. You can't comprehend
right.
it. And no matter how much you try, you're never going to get the answers you're looking for. So, you know. Some person might say, why are we even bothering to do it? But it just intrigued the heck out of me. That's why.
Right. It's because, you know, we may not get all the answers, but if we can get some insight and something that pacifies us and makes us feel better while we're alive, then that's, you know, that's part of the journey, all right? It's not always so much in getting to the end. It's what do we do in that whole journey to get to the answer that we seek. And that's where the adventure lies. And, you know, if you can have fun doing it, you know, I think teams should, you know, have as much fun as they can, and the minute it stops being fun, and don't get me wrong, I don't mean that in a lighthearted sense as though, hey, yeah, we're going to go into this house where this kid's bleeding from the eyes and he's floating 4 feet above the bed. Boy, this is 12. I don't mean that kind of fun, but when it's no longer entertaining for you to be a part of something that is educational for you, the minute it becomes something that you regret doing or something that you just don't enjoy, then why be a part of it? And there's so many teams out there that are bitter and angry, and they stay together for just because, you know, and there's no love for the field anymore. There's no respect for the field anymore. It's that they're just hoping to blindly stumble into that case, which may get them, you know, notoriety in a big TV show or movie or something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I'm on this journey for personal reasons, and I got to say, one of the most inspiring things I've heard in quite a while was when you had the Leningers on your show talking about the book Soul Survivor, and
right.
that just struck a chord with me. I don't know why, if because I'm a vet and I do Civil War reenacting, and things like that. And I've always been felt pulled to the Wild West for some reason. And that's why on August 2nd, the death of Wild Bill Hickok, we're actually going to have a Wild West themed paranormal show. And that book, I got to get a hold of it and read it, because the whole story of what he was going through and the things he was describing.
Oh, it's a great book, yeah. Soul Survivor, about the reincarnation of a World War II fighter jet pilot. Yeah,
exactly. And it's, the stories like that are what intrigue the heck out of me, and I want to learn more. That's what I'm doing it for. You know, I'm not looking for glory. This cool answers like that. I noticed you had this little healing prayer circle thing you do here. How did that get started?
I don't really remember, to be truthful. Somebody, I saw somebody put up a request once for healing and prayers, and they were just like, you know, posted it on MySpace saying, please send me some healing and prayers. My son is in the hospital and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh my gosh, well, you know what? I've got 5,000 friends on MySpace, and a lot of them are healers and very spiritual. I'll post that. And I posted it, and I got great responses. And all of a sudden, I get an email from the woman who read that I reposted it, and she was just so thankful, and like there was an immediate turnaround for her son. And I thought, oh, great. Well, you know, hey, I'm glad that we were a part of something, you know, bringing this to God and bringing it to the universe to, you know, heal and bring power of prayer back to people. And we just started getting more and more prayer and healing requests. You know, I get a couple a week, and I try to post them if I, you know, get home in time. I try to post them for people and spread the word and do what we can. As a matter of fact, I'll take this moment to just ask your listeners to take a moment of prayer today and tonight for the family of Chris Fleming. Chris, of course, is a psychic from the TV show Dead Famous, and his father passed away yesterday. So just for people out there, you know, pray and ask for strength and guidance for Chris and his family through this very trying time, and be with them. And that's, you know, we ask for simple things like that, just to be there. And we've seen some great results. People write to me all the time with remarkable stories and of healing and being brought back to their religion and to their ideals and feeling whole again. And to me, that's fantastic. If we have any part of that, I'm so happy to be a part of it. But, you know, of course, I don't take any of the glory for it, because that belongs to God and to the people that work, you know, through God that bring the power and the healing and the prayer to Him, and He delivers. So,
I think it would, just to tell some of the stories and how they turned out and show how the power of prayer can work. And I noticed you do other things to help people too. I noticed on your site you're stepping up. Darkness Records was stepping up to fill all the empty Michael Jackson concerts.
You like that? Our 50? Yeah, Davy Jones, or what was it? Donny Osmond, David Cassidy, and I are going to do a Teen Idol tour. I guess that's just a dream of mine, Al. Don't mess with the dream, all right?
Yeah,
but you know, another thing I will mention for trying to bring the people the answers and get them something. You know, we've been doing live events for the last 3 years and have had a great time, and we've worked with some fantastic celebrities along the way, like Jay and Grant and the other members of TAPS, and now they're off doing their Beyond Reality events, and we wish them much success. And now we're trying to do different style venues where we can, you know, we're straying more into the ideas of the paranormal and the science of the paranormal, and less to do with the celebrity of the paranormal. And again, that's no slight, but you know, the celebrities have their own events going on, and God bless them. There's no competition against them. So let's go for a different style. And right now we're doing the science fair, spelled PSIENCE, talking about the science fair at the Queen Mary, which takes place in September. And I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to this more than I've looked forward to a trip in a long time. The idea is we're going to delve into what happens in the paranormal, why it happens. And I think we've brought a really great group of people together. We've brought some of the top innovative minds in the field together. Bill Chappell, who's created the Paranormal Puck, the Ovilus, the Video Ovilus, You know, if you want information on some of the coolest ghost technology out there, check out his website at ghostshop.com. Again, that's ghostshop.com. You can find the Obelisk and the Paranormal Puck and the video Obelisk and information there. But Bill Chappell will be there. We have Andy Kopic, who has created a lot of the equipment that you're seeing on Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International. We've got Paul Bradford, who's kind of a MacGyver in the field. He's really good at adapting existing equipment and turning it into something else for paranormal use. We've got Gary Galka, who's created the Mel Meter and is a really integral part of the paranormal field now with investigative tools. Then we've got some of the best speakers I could pull together. I mean, we have Dr. Barry Taff with over 40 years of experience in paranormal investigating. He's done over 4,000 paranormal investigations. We've got Dr. Pamela Heath. We've got Marie D. Jones. We'll be talking about the science of the paranormal, how actual proof of quantum physics and the science is proving that a lot of what we're examining and investigating is real, and it is happening. We also have Bill Murphy, who's going to be doing a great talk on psychic machines, talking about the technology through the ages. Jeff Belanger, who's going to be talking to us about the history of ITC, you know, talking about how to do EVPs and all this. Gosh, I'm sorry if I'm blanking out and not remembering everybody else, but we've just got a fantastic lineup of speakers. Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, they are two of the guys that have been leaders in the field for me for paranormal tools. Chris is a psychic sensitive, and what I really like about Chris is that he also relies on equipment and tools to back up his psychic experience. So he's not just saying, oh, there's a ghost in this room, and it's doing this. He gets it to interact with him so that an entire room full of people can see and experience at least a portion of what he can see. And so we're having Chris there. We have Patrick Burns, who's going to be there. And Patrick, of course, is the techie from the TV show Haunting Evidence on True TV and Court TV. So we've just a great lineup of speakers, a lot of fun. And Dr. Michael Shermer from Skeptic Magazine is going to be there. And Dr. Shermer gives some fantastic talks. And I think it is important to hear his talks. People think skeptic is a naughty word in our field, and I think we need more skeptics. We need more people willing to ask the hard questions and not just fall by the wayside and, oh, that cat fart must be a demon. No, it's a cat fart. It smells bad. It'll be gone in a few seconds. You know, and Dr. Shermer has got some fantastic talks, and he's going to be giving one about Skepticism 101, and he provides some information I think every good paranormal investigator in the world should hear, because he shows how the brain works, why it does what it does, how it does pattern recognition and fills in gaps, and how a lot of what we perceive to be paranormal activity is nothing more than something that's just very real and we just don't understand it. So,
well, speaking,
you know,
of, speaking
we're trying
of
to
brain,
bring all different facets of the paranormal together for that.
What's the date on that again?
You know, I apologize. I'm driving in my car, actually, on my way to my radio show. I don't have the dates up in front of me, but it's
all right.
Like,
well,
the
you
first,
got a website
first
address?
Weekend. It's the first weekend in September. It's the right after Labor Day weekend, and it's darknessevents.com. Darknessevents.com, and you can check out all the information there. We also have the first ever Awakenings, Darkness Radio's Awakenings, Developing Your Psychic Potential event. We've brought in Chip Coffey from Psychic Kids and Paranormal State. We brought in Derek Acora from Most Haunted. We've got Chris Fleming from Dead Famous. And we have got John Oliver, who is the psychic detective from Haunting Evidence. We're bringing them together along with Michael and Marty Perry, who are two very talented mediums. And then Echo Bodine, the local legend here in Minnesota, all together in Minnesota at the Grand Rios Ramada Inn in November of 2009, and it's a whole weekend of being able to learn how to open up and develop your own psychic potential, get the answers that you seek for you, and we have three nights of gallery sessions. Friday night is a 2.5-hour gallery session led by Michael and Marty Perry, and Saturday night is a 2.5-hour gallery session led by Derek Acora, and Sunday night is a 2.5-hour gallery session led by Chip Coffey. For those of your listeners that don't know what a gallery session is, it's where you sit in the audience and the psychics or mediums up on stage will try to connect people in the audience with loved ones. It's really
basically
an amazing time, very spiritual.
Basically what they've seen John Edwards do on Crossing
exactly.
Over, basically.
Yes,
yep.
That's right.
Yep, okay. I didn't want to change the subject here. when you're talking about brains, have you ever had anyone on the show regarding the Monroe Institute and HemiSync?
Nope, that is something that we're working on as well. Probably within the next month here, you're going to hear a show on this.
Okay, because we're doing one too. Yep.
Good.
I was emailing Paul, Rademeyer or whatever his name is there, and John Fortuk, I think, is a paranormal investigator that's been using this thing, and it just seems like a real intriguing tool to me. If you can use audio sounds to basically enhance the psychic abilities of all your investigators on a team, I can't see how that would hurt in the least. So, enhancing psychic abilities is something I've been interested in a while here. So, that event you've got going on out there, I have to figure out how I can get to Minnesota, I guess.
Well, that's why they got me to airplanes and cars. You can hop in either one and come on out and visit with us.
Yeah, well, I won't hop in an airplane. I've done that before, and I wasn't off the ground 30 seconds, and lightning struck the top of it.
Well, see,
and
I would
never
say,
getting another one again.
I would say you're pretty safe. The chances of another plane you're in getting hit by lightning are pretty slim now, Al.
Yeah, this time it'll just plain fall out of the sky. I like something when it breaks down, you can pull over and call a tow truck, you know, a boat or a train maybe, or a car, but the planes don't.
You know what, Al, when
anyway.
It's your time, it's not going to matter whether you're on a plane or sitting in a McDonald's. When it's your time, you're going to go, so you shouldn't waste time. You have sweat and what could happen.
Exactly, but I'd rather not, you know, go through the pain of burning up beforehand or something, you know.
Oh, trust me, you'll be dead long before you burn up. The impact will kill you.
You know, I want to die in my sleep or having sex. You know, that's the only two ways I want to die. So, anyways, we got about 3 minutes left here, 2 minutes, I guess. So, anything else you want before you get out of here and go to your own show?
Check out darknessevents.com for all of our upcoming paranormal events. We have price plans for every budget, and I think it's a great opportunity for people that are interested in the paranormal to come out and experience fun things in a very lively environment with people that are open-minded, and you can feel like a family. Part of the best part of our trips is the way that friendships are made and new bonds are formed. People that have come together that never knew each other before and end up being lifelong best friends, and that's part of the fun of the event, so I hope people will check that out. Remember also on Saturday and Sunday nights to check out Darkness Radio. We're on every Saturday and Sunday from 9 p.m. till midnight Central Time. That's 10 p.m. till 1 a.m. Eastern. And you can find us at darknessradio.com. Join us in our live chat room. Tonight we're talking to Minnesota investigator Adam Norrie. And Adam is going to tell us about some of the paranormal hotspots in Minnesota and some of the things that have happened to his paranormal team. And then we're going to be joined by Michael and Marty Perry, the psychics out of California. We'll be talking a little bit about connecting to the other side and understanding how it happens, why we get the information we get, and going to have a fun time with it. And, of course, in the first hour, we've got Adrian Lee, our national news correspondent, and the lovely Susan Cummins will be doing the book review about the Queen Mary.
There you go. That sounds good. I actually stumbled on your show. I believe it was on iTunes, if I remember right. I think I found a podcast on iTunes. So
yep. Or you can go
find
to
it, find
yeah,
it
you can
there.
Go to iTunes, or you can go to ktlkfm.com. Again, that's ktlkfm.com. Click on the Darkness Radio podcast, and you'll find all of our shows dating back to last August 24th. You can download them, listen to them, and the podcasts are great because they remove all commercial content, so it's, you know, each hour is only about 44 minutes in content for you, so you can post through them quickly. But, Al, I want to thank you for the time you've given me tonight, and I appreciate the promotion for our show and for the event. And I wish you a lot of success and fun doing what you do, man.
Yeah, it's a great show. I want to tell everyone to listen to it. I'm going to be there in the chat room about an hour from now. A great group of people in the chat room. And I want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule. I know you're pretty busy and making time to come on a little old show like Haunted America Radio, where we're constantly proving that two monkeys can do a radio show. You don't need to be professionally trained. So I want to thank you, and
you bet.
Hopefully next week we'll be back here, and hopefully Josh will be here with us. All right. Thank you, Dave.